prayer service, and we are going to start tonight with praise to God. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 34. We're going to begin there, and then Adam is going to lead us in prayer. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Adam.
The majority of this prayer will be taken from Psalm 111. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you tonight and we bow before your throne and we praise you with all of our hearts. In this assembly and in this congregation, we give you praise and we recognize your works as great and we study them and we delight in them. And we recognize that all you do is splendid and majestic. We recognize that your righteousness endures forever, and that you have caused your wonderful works to be remembered through your word. Father, you are gracious and compassionate, and you have provided for those who fear you. You remember your covenant with your people, and you remember your covenant with us. You have shown us the power of your works, and we look forward to an inheritance that awaits us. The works of your hands are truth and justice, and your instructions, your scriptures, are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, and you enact them in truth and uprightness. You have sent redemption to your people in the form of your Son. And you have ordained this covenant forever with us, your people. And your name is holy and awe-inspiring. And Father, as we reflect on that word and as we reflect on your Son, we fear you. And we hope to begin to understand wisdom. And we desire to follow your instructions and have good insight and to give you praise forever. And Father, as we work here, we give you thanks for the plan that you've set up for your congregation. We give you praise for the wisdom that you have enacted among us. And we pray that we are the type of family here, the type of congregation that seeks to do your will and glorifies you. And Father, we give you the glory in all things. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God is good, and we are privileged to be his servants and to engage in his work. We are going to be talking about some of the things that are going on among us, some of the things that have come up in the men's meeting. And praying about those things, we want to continue to pray for those we support in the preaching of the gospel. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Paul, in this context, is talking about his work in preaching the gospel. And he says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. Paul was suffering for the work that he was doing, but he rejoiced in that because he knew that he had a part in God's eternal purpose, in realizing God's eternal purpose. And these men we support are involved in that as well. Chase Byers, Caleb Churchill, Muhammad Massapoy, Alderman Wealth, Arrigo Carraza, Eddie Pagan. We have supported Wayne Galloway and Alan Cornett in making trips overseas. And so let's remember all these men. And from time to time, members here go out and preach as well. Andrew Shear is preaching in Mount Sterling today, and so that's where he is out preaching the gospel. And so remember that work as well. Jeff Byers is going to lead our minds as we pray for these men and for the work that they're doing.
Our dear Lord, as we continue to bow before thy throne, we are thankful, Lord, for the blessings that you have given unto us. The blessing of Jesus, of what he has taught us, of our salvation through him, and our ability to become like you, holy. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us here as a congregation, as we are very financially wealthy. Now that we're able to reach out and support your work being done through these men and their families. As we do so, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be pure and refined, Lord. We pray that they'll be clear and before you and clean. We pray, Lord, that your will be our will. We pray, Lord, that we seek to serve you in all things that we do. We know that when we walk on your path, you are always with us and protect us. We pray, Lord, that you will give these men and their families understanding of your wisdom as they study these scriptures daily, Lord. Help for that to grow. Help for their abilities to be able to teach others your word and of your love. Lord, give them strength to resist discouragement, resist rejection, resist temptation. We pray, Lord, that you will give them strength to always stand for the truth and stand strong. Give them the ability to help others with their words. Help them to encourage others. We pray, Lord, that they'll be great teachers of your word. Help for them to stand out as a bright light of yours. These men are very dear to our heart and their families. We know that they are close to you as well. Thank you for giving them to us. They are a blessing for us, to us. We know, Lord, that those who trust in you, O Lord, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In just a few weeks, we will be having the Bible Forum and dealing with the issue of a good God and an evil world. And if you would turn to Psalm 84, we're going to read there about the goodness of God. And then Kevin is going to lead us in a prayer for this effort. Greg Gravitt will be coming from LaGrange, Kentucky to lead that series of studies, and I'm going to say a little bit more about that effort and our part in that effort at the end. In Psalm 84, beginning in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. God is good. Kevin.
Father, in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We are overwhelmed by your goodness. Father, we pray that we can continue to learn about that and to grow in our awe of you as we enter into this gospel meeting. Father, we pray that we'll be active to invite people of this world so that they too can have this knowledge of your goodness. Father, we pray that you be with Greg, that as he prepares these lessons, that he will be encouraged and that he will be able to glean from your word the things that you would have us to know and communicate that to us. Father, we also pray that you be with our hearts, that our hearts will be receptive. We will not harden our hearts to your word, but we will be the fertile soil that you have taught us in the parable, and your word will grow in us, and we will produce fruit. Father, we also pray that you be with the members of the community, that they will recognize that they too need you, and that they will open their hearts so that they can understand your goodness. We also have other Bible studies that are currently going on. We pray that you be with those, and we are thankful for those people that lead those studies, and we are thankful for the people that desire to learn more of your word. We also pray that you be with the other meeting we have coming up, that we will learn how to encourage one another, and that we will all be uplifted so that we can be unified in our work to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
One of the things that we have repeatedly talked about in our meetings is we've got a lot of people right now who are struggling with physical illness, physical maladies, and disease, and aging, and various things of that sort. And so we want to remember them, the Varners and Nellie Rollins. By the way, Sister Renee is currently, along with everything else, she is recovering from a bout with pneumonia. So I don't know if that made the announcements this morning or not, but please remember her, Maxine Becknell. Brother Don was out this morning, and he's I don't think he felt good, but he came anyway. So let's continue to remember him. Jean Taylor struggles with wounds, I think from diabetes, and let's continue to remember Leslie Greer, and of course Tommy and Russell as well, and Pat as they deal with this. But we just have a number of people who are struggling with physical maladies, and that can bring you down and be wearing. And so let's keep them in our prayers. If you would, turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We'll read 14 and 15, and then Matthew will lead our minds in prayer. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Matthew.
Pray. Oh God of heaven, we are very thankful and delighted to be here with one another to think about so many things, especially your word. The Bible means so much to us. In the Bible is the story of your son and how he redeemed us and how he saved us. And that's what makes the Bible the most important book to us. It is your word. And we're so thankful that we can look into it and consider certain passages. We're thankful that we can be here to consider certain members, to consider those who are struggling right now physically, to consider all of our members, O Lord, here at this congregation, but all those that are in great need of your helping hand. We believe that you help. We know that you help in so many ways that we can't even see, and it amazes us. We're so thankful that you're directly involved, and we ask that you continue to be in our lives as we try to be directly involved with one another. And that ultimately is what you're trying to get us to see, is that when we pray for others, we've got to put feet to those prayers and help them. We need to go to them. We need to see them. We need to try and be the care and the comfort that ultimately you're asking of us to be for one another. Help us to be that, to have the strength, the confidence, the courage to care for one another, to go and see each other, and to provide for every need that is there. Thank you, Lord, for this chance. Thank you that we can consider your ways. You have always helped. You've always cared from the beginning. And especially the ultimate caring act was the death of your son. We're thankful for Jesus. Thankful for one another. Lord, please help us in all of our needs, but especially those right now that are suffering physically. We don't even know, Lord, how you help, but please, please help them. You've done so many things, so many marvelous things. This is seemingly so small for someone who's sick or has cancer or has some sort of ailment. It's nothing for you, Lord. Please help these people. And we know that you are, but help us also to be of aid to them. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Please keep us safe and be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
We also have a number who are struggling with spiritual weakness or various types of spiritual struggles. There are some members who seem to be drifting away, and we need to be aware of them. We need to reach out. Let them know that we care about them. Find out what's going on. Find out what's pulling on them. See if there's a load that we can help bear, or encouragement that we can give, or strength that we can supply to help them in their hour of spiritual need. A phone call, a note can make a huge difference. And so let's look around, be aware, reach out to these people. We have members who, again, have serious health problems. We have members who are dealing with loss in their families, deaths, and things of that sort. We have members who have suffered trauma in the past. All of these kinds of things are going on. There are no Christians without scars. And so none of us is unscathed by the world. The scars may be in different places. They may have come in different ways. But we all have them. We all have burdens and challenges. And so let's be mindful of one another and compassionate toward one another. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read that passage, and then Dan Galloway is going to lead our minds as we pray. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Dan?
Almighty God, we thank you so much for the beautiful day that you've given to us today, a day to spend time with one another and spend time with you. We come to you tonight humbly because, as Sid said, all of us have scars, all of us have sinned, and each individual in here will face some kind of hardship if they have not already, as far as children or whatever it may be, God, in their lives, which makes them and us turn our heads from you. Forgive us for that. Our pride gets in the way so very often, Father, in our selfishness, and it makes us look into our inside as if we could solve every problem of the world, as if we have power, as if we have authority, as if we have the way. But God, you've created the way, and you've sacrificed the way, and we thank you for that. Our entire faith pivots on that fundamental aspect of you paying a price for our sin. And help us to remember that every day. God, allow us to lean on you even when it's difficult, when the things occur in this life that are in our faces. Help us to move to you and to one another, and to lean on each other for encouragement, for edification, for study. I know when we study, Father, it leads to greater things, and that is the want to serve you and to serve one another. God, take away our excuses. Speaking for myself, you know, I make excuses of why I cannot reach out to people and ask them the tough questions of how their soul is, of what they need. Take away the fear of having to fulfill a need, God. You fulfilled all our needs, and ask that we do the same. Make us do that. Push us to do that. Sometimes it's all we can do, or all we think we can do, just to care for our family, our immediate family, God. But you've created a family that we cannot even fathom. And if we accept you as our Father, it means we're to care for our family. We're to put our burdens on you and help our brothers and sisters lift theirs, and to study about what causes these burdens of what sin is and how we can keep people away from it, how we can create an environment in this local church to bring more people to you, to create a need, God, not just for you, but a need to rely on one another. And again, to create an environment where people trust us with those things. If you, as you have given us so much grace, that we trust you. Humble us, God. Our position on this earth is to serve. Your Son made that evident, and He is our ultimate example. Move us to serve one another and move us to serve you. Make us unified, God. So many things recently have been stressful for this group. And we have not depended on you as much as we probably should. And I'll just speak for myself there. If there are others as well that have not depended on you like they should, soften our hearts to do your will, Father. Allow us to think of others first, and above all, to think of you first. We love you, Lord, and we love your sons and daughters. As we go on the rest of our lives, regardless if we're speaking to Christians or not, it doesn't matter, because every individual on this planet is your child. Help us to ask ourselves each day, is this how we would talk to a child of yours? Push us to study. Push us to reach out to these that are in our minds, and make us stop saying maybe tomorrow. Allow us to do it tonight, now, constantly. If it's just lunch, if it's just a phone call, God, push us to move. What causes us to go so slow in reaching out to one another? Take away that anxiety, God, tonight from each one of us, and put us to work. We are your workers. We are your children. And your children serve you and serve others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Always concerned about the growth of the church. There's been a lot of ongoing discussion about the children's class curriculum for the foreseeable future. We're going to be sticking with our spiritual heritage material in most of those classes. There's ongoing discussion about the adult class curriculum in the first quarter of 2019, if God wills. Everyone will be doing the Our Spiritual Heritage historic overview, where we all kind of try and get rooted and grounded in the big picture of God's Word and of God's redemptive purpose. There's a plan after the Bible Forum to have a gospel meeting with Boyd Sellers, and he is going to be dealing with a series of subjects that are designed to apply the gospel in such a way as to heal some of the scars that we may have from the past. In that vein, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Comfort in part and healing in part comes from growth as the gospel is applied to our lives. There is and continues to be a lot of discussion about how to get that done. I'm going to ask Jacob, if he would, to lead our minds in prayer.
Let's go before our Father's throne. Dear Heavenly Father, You are a great and an awesome God. You, O Lord, are worthy of all praise for Your glory and Your power are without limit, and we cannot comprehend Your majesty. Lord, we praise You, for You care for us. You are truly our refuge and our rock. You know the number of hairs on our heads, Lord. You know our trials. You know our weakness. You know our pain. We thank You, Lord, for You are our comforter. You are our help and our strength in times of pain, in times of joy, in times of peace, and in times of strife. You are there for us, Lord. You are our Father. And we thank You so much for that. Lord, we would ask that You would bless Brother Boyd as he comes and be with him as he brings out truth from Your word. We would ask that those who are in pain would be helped by Your truth, Lord, and be comforted by Your word. And Lord, we ask that at that time we might be equipped with Your truth to apply and practice them in edifying and helping one another and building up and strengthening one another in Your word and in love, Lord. Lord, we ask that You would bless the parents of this congregation as they strive to raise up godly children. We ask that You would help and bless the Bible class teachers as they teach these children from Your word. Lord, we ask that You would bless the teachers who strive to edify and uplift and enable the members of this congregation to be active in our service to You. Lord, We thank you for the love that we might have through your Son for one another. And we would ask that we would always grow in that love, that we would always remember that we have a common faith and a common hope and a common Lord and Savior, and that we are to be one with you and also one with one another. May we always grow in this unity, Lord. And may we in every way hold fast to your truth and your doctrine, Lord, standing firm in our faith against every falsehood and all worldliness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your patience. For even if we were to fulfill every command that you have given us, we would be but unworthy slaves. And so often we fall short of that. May we always strive for the goal, Lord, of being perfect as you are perfect, and may we always help one another in our walk. May your will be done, Lord, and may your name be glorified on earth as it is in heaven. And it is in Jesus' most holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
There was a discussion in the last meeting about how we make decisions, and of course, all the decisions that are made need to be guided by God's counsel and God's wisdom. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. The proverb writer says, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you." The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. God's wisdom is counsel for every step we take, and not only for the decisions that we make, but for how we come to those decisions. I'm going to ask Brian Crawley, if he would, to lead our minds in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we ask that you help us to be united in the Spirit, to work together, to serve you and to glorify you. We ask your guidance be with us as we go about this work. Help us to make choices that are wise, choices that will help us to move forward in serving and glorifying you. Help us to recognize the foolishness of our own wisdom and the strength and power of the wisdom that comes from you. May we always as we are faced with difficult decisions, always look first to you and to your word to find your will. And may we pursue your will and pursue your wisdom as the psalmist has instructed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, as we wrap up, I want to say just a little bit more about the Bible Forum. This morning, you probably got a packet with a place to fill out some names and addresses and a sample letter. If you would fill those out, and please, please, please print. I will be reading these in the wee hours of the night through bleary and coffee-stained eyes, and so it needs to be as written with as much clarity as you can muster. But if you would fill those out, I will, or I myself and perhaps others will print up letters and envelopes and postage. The whole thing will be done, and all you will have to do is put your John Hancock on the bottom and any personal notes that you might want to add, and there'll be a letter, there'll be a flyer, and the envelope and postage, all of that will be included, and all you have to do is sign it and send it off. And if we could get those in by the end of August. I really believe this is an important, important topic, especially in the kind of environment that we live in a college town. The number one argument of atheists, by far, is that if there is evil, then either God is not good or he is not all-powerful, and in either case, if he is not good or he's not all-powerful, he's not God. And so this is the most prominent argument, and this is something that a lot of people wrestle with because, again, we've all suffered. And by we, in this case, I don't mean Christians, I mean human beings. All human beings have suffered. We've all experienced bad. We've all been the victims of other people's actions to one degree or another. That is a universal human experience. Anybody who's made it to adulthood has experienced that. And a lot of people are wrestling with that. But there are answers, and there are biblical answers, and so I think this is a great opportunity to reach out to people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you, if you want to use that venue, I realize that we'll have flyers to hand out, little cards to hand out to people, and there'll be other ways to invite people other than these letters. So you don't have to do that. It's not the only way. And we'll be doing direct mail and some other things that we've done in the past, but this is a good opportunity. And by far, whether it's you taking a card or flyer and putting it in somebody's hand or sending them the letter, that brings more visitors out than anything else. Personal invitations, whether it comes in the mail or it's you handing it to somebody at work. I'm not so much concerned about the venue of the personal invitation, but personal invitations get more people out to hear the gospel than anything else we do. People do come from direct mail and signs and things like that, but not a lot. The vast majority of visitors come because they got a personal invitation. And so I would encourage you to do that. And I won't embarrass anybody by mentioning names, but one of the members here invites everyone in their neighborhood. They turned in 140 names last year. And so don't think because you got two sheets of paper with only six spaces on it that you can only turn in six people. Run that thing off, or don't run it off, just write the information out in a similar format that vaguely resembles what I asked for, and we'll get it done. But don't feel limited to six invitations or whatever, as many as you want. And if it's so many that we can't handle printing up all the letters, then we'll figure something out. That would be a great problem to have. I would love to have that problem. But let people know. By way of invitation, I want to take just a moment to consider a passage in Acts chapter 11 that has always been impressive to me. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word of no one except Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus." And so they came into Antioch and they preached the Lord Jesus. And they had the Lord with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So the Lord was preached, and in consequence of the Lord being preached, people turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And so, the Lord was preached, people turned to the Lord, and then Barnabas encourages them to remain true to the Lord. And as a result of them remaining true to the Lord, considerable numbers are brought to the Lord in verse 24. And the disciples are first called Christians at Antioch. Now, the emphasis in this passage is obvious. It was the Lord that brought people. It was the Lord that people turned to. It was the Lord that they were encouraged to remain true to, and it remained true to the Lord. Others were brought to the Lord. And so the whole thing is gospel-centered. It's all about Jesus. This is Paul's statement to the Corinthians. "I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified writ large." There are many, many important questions in this life, but there is only one important answer. And that's what this passage tells us. And so, I guess as I think about what we prayed about, I think about what the efforts we're engaged in, what the people of Lexington, Kentucky need is the Lord. What those of us in this room who are hurting, who carry scars, what we need is the Lord. The gospel is the answer. The gospel brings reconciliation. The gospel brings salvation. The gospel brings healing. The gospel brings peace. Jesus is our answer. And if you're not a Christian, He's your answer. He's the only answer. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. John 14:6. So, if you're just stumbling through life, trying to figure out what it's all about, there's an answer.